Welcome to the Not in the Textbooks podcast. I'm your host, Audra, and I'll be sharing stories you've likely never learned in any of your textbooks. But before today's chapter, I need to clear up just a little bit of business. The views in these chapters are my own or my guest's own. They are meant for entertainment and educational purposes only. They do not reflect any connections to any employer of mine, my guests, now, in the past, or even in the future. If you need any medical treatments, advice, assistance, or care, please seek your own medical practitioners, not this podcast. Also, if I have a fellow healthcare provider, clinician, etc., member of the healthcare team, and we are discussing anything that has to do with healthcare stories, there are no HIPAA violations, or HIPAA violations, as we like to jokingly call them. We are not going to disclose personal healthcare information. We are going to change little tweaks in the story so that there's nothing identified. It's just for the education and entertainment factor. And most likely, things in the story have been changed so that you can't identify who the patient may be. So, on that note, I hope that you guys thoroughly enjoy the show. Thanks. Hey everyone, I wanted to say a happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I wanted to say a special happy Mother's Day to those who Mother's Day is a little bittersweet because you can't have children, you've lost a child, you've lost a parent. Or you've drawn that short end of the stick on the mom draw. Or if your kiddos are estranged, or there's other losses or reasons that make this day a little rougher than other days. I hope you find love and peace and joy and some hope today. If you need a stand-in mom, I'll step in for you. Or I could help you find some mama who will fit the bill for you. Also, big love to all the mamas out there that are working today in service in their computer communities, restaurants, rest stops, driving trucks, at the hospital, in the fields, patrolling streets, putting out fires, or working anywhere else. Much love, people. All of you people. Much, much love to all of you. And I also know that there's been some issues with the audio. There's some glitch with the computer or my SD card. I am desperately working to get that fixed. And I promise I will continue working until I figure it out and get it all fixed. So I'm sorry, there's some spots that were cut out and some sped up places, but I think that the gist of the conversation that I had with my very good friend, Mary, from my whole life, still came through. And like I said, thanks for your patience in all those glitches that we're seemingly having. So hope you enjoy it, and happy Mother's Day. Well, hello.
Hello.
I have with me today is 5223, and I have Miss Mary James Ketch, and it is a struggle for me not to call you by your first and middle name.
Yeah, don't worry. My family still calls me Mary Elizabeth.
Yes, as well, and so I'm just like, this is Mary Elizabeth, and
That's fine.
And like Janelle, who's been on the show that was, I think, season one, speech therapist that was on, you are one of the people that I have in my life. You know, we all have all of us in our lives, you know, still, oddly enough, from grade school, from the mean streets of the hood of Surrey Hills.
Yes.
The rough and tumble. And you are also one of those people that I don't remember my life before you were present in my life, which is
right, yeah,
a little crazy.
When did we meet? We have no idea. Yeah,
you were just always there, like
right.
Yeah, we were always there. We weren't besties. We weren't attached at the hips, but I went to many a birthday parties at your house, and mm-hmm. we had many a sleepovers, and we did many a
We walked home from school together.
Every day, yes.
Wow, and then your house was like halfway to my house, and on cold days, I would stop and occasionally warm up and have hot chocolate before I headed on
the rest of the way. Yeah,
the long haul home from school.
1, 2, 3, 4 more streets down. Yeah. It's not that far, but it was far. It felt far when it was that cold.
You're in elementary school. Yeah.
Back when we were feral, we were all feral children.
It was really special.
It really was. Yeah, it really, really was. It was a great nostalgic thing. And, you know, no matter what happened, we were always still, even in high school, like went to a party at your house. We read poetry and like... And we were mostly in honors classes together, even though I was the slacker that would show up and go, did you read the book? What was it about? But occasionally I read the book. I did. But so we were always in class together. And, you know, like there was always that special bond of us Surrey kids kind of stuck together no matter what. So
it's kind of like your family. It's like, you know, we had that same... Yeah, you didn't have to be by each other's side all the time, but you knew that you were always there for each other.
Exactly. Yeah. And still to this day, we are still that way. We still run into each other and make plans to see each other. And we're fortunate in that way. I have found the older that I get, the more I see people that are like, you still talk to people you went to grade school with. I'm like, yes.
Honestly, it's one of the reasons I moved back from California to raise my kids.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to have, I'm not in a neighborhood, so it's not the same, but I wanted them to have that experience of knowing kids through elementary school, through high school, and having long-term friendships. I think it's really special.
It's a good time. But so we had this week's episode that came out with the new book, with chapter one. I recorded this past Saturday with my friend Julie, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And for me, she is a mental health PA. And so she's a psych PA. And so we're going to kick off May's stuff with that. So yours is actually going, this episode, this chapter is actually going to come out the week after. So we are recording on May 2nd. And I think a good part of improving people's overall mental health obviously comes through people, but I feel like it also comes through finding joy and inspiration in the world around you. And that is where you come in, because you do that all the time. And so, yay. you are an artiste. You are an artist by training and trade, correct?
Well, my training was actually in filmmaking.
Okay.
So I got film and video studies degree from OU, University of Oklahoma. And then I went to USC and got a master's in film production. And I was in Los Angeles for 9 years. And by that, sort of a backstory, but I didn't want to be in the film industry anymore after I had my daughter and, you know, just was disenchanted. Moved back to Oklahoma because I just at the time was just like, I just want to be a mom. And but then after I had my second child, I started to go crazy. And that's when I started painting. It was an outlet. And I say still to this day that I paint my own medicine. Like I needed to have a creative outlet. I needed joy. I needed peace. It's a meditation for me as well. I get in a very meditative state when I paint. And it just brought me joy. And it was something that I could do with two kids at home. Because before that, I was writing screenplays and writing a novel. And I just didn't have the focus to do that once I had kids. And also, I think pregnancy changed my brain, which I've read about a little bit. But I think there's more to explore there and how your brain changes during pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I started seeing faces everywhere, like in my tile and everywhere. And so a lot of my work is figurative, because I was just became much more visually oriented. Even though I wasn't filmmaking, obviously I was visually oriented, but I had never really drawn too much before that. So yeah, I'm mostly a self-taught artist, and I didn't start until my 30s.
It takes a lot of courage to at 30 be like, I'm going to just change the course of everything now. But I have so many questions. First, I guess, tell me about the arts festival and how you have to apply for that in like September and do all of those things. And then you paint like series, you'll get inspired by something and paint little series. And how did this all take off? Were you doing it for like a meditative hobby, or were you like, oh, I could sell this?
Like how did my art career take off?
Yes. Yes.
So it's really interesting because when I was in the film business, I kind of felt I was just kept hitting my head against a brick wall. I wouldn't even say I was in the business. I was like trying to get in the business. I was peripherally in the business.
Right.
And one day I showed my hairdresser a painting I had done, and she said, oh my goodness, you should join my neighbor's art group. It's a, you know, women's art group. And I was like, oh no, you know, I can't do this. Like, I don't know if I can paint. And she was like, looked at me and she was like, you already are painting. Like, why do you think you can't do it?
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I applied to them. I had to have 10 paintings. And so I applied and they accepted me, and it was a great group of women who are, a lot of them were also mothers, so they understood. And we would put on group shows together. So we would each put in like a couple pieces and we would have a group show in a gallery. We did that like 4 times a year. And it was a great experience to build up my resume, like, you know, continue to learn what my style is, meet other women. And then eventually we kind of all got to the place where we could do our own sort of solo shows and go on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just sort of grown from there where I now release one or two collections a year on my own. You know, I have a website, email list. Sometimes I do gallery shows, and sometimes I've kind of been toying with the idea of trying to do just online, you know, be where the people are.
Yes. Yeah.
So the Oklahoma City Arts Festival it's almost one of a kind in the country in the sense, like, every other art show is like 3 days, not every other, there's a few other that are longer, but for an outdoor arts festival, 6 days is almost unheard of. And it's such a tradition in Oklahoma City, and it's one of the few art things that almost everyone will do. I think a lot of other cities, there's more galleries, there's more opportunities, but in a way, in Oklahoma City, like, this is all focused in on the arts festival.
Yeah.
And there are people there who would never step foot into a gallery, but there are also people who would step foot in a gallery. You just get the whole spectrum.
You sure do.
Of an audience. And it's just, it's really competitive actually to get in. But if you're local, you tend to get on the wait list. And when someone can't show up for whatever reason at last minute, they're sick, whatever happens, then you get pulled in. And I first got in 2017. I hadn't even applied. They had kicked somebody out in the middle of the festival and were just desperate to find an artist.
And, sure.
To learn from the other artists around me who did that full time.
Mm-hmm.
And one was from Georgia and did really beautiful sort of like Dutch master paintings. Another one did ink, and she's from Pennsylvania. Another one was a potter from Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I just soaked it all in and learned and continued to do gallery shows a little bit after that. And, you know, I bought a tent, my own tent, so I could do other shows. The Oklahoma City Art Show is really great too, because they provide the tent and the walls for you, so you don't have to do that, which is a lot of schlepping.
Yes, it is.
And then I was like, well, I did a few other art shows, and I was like, well, maybe I don't like being outside, and I hate putting up the tent by myself. And you should be away from your family. And my kids were still a bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then I reapplied, got on the wait list again, didn't get called back up. Last year, got called back in. And if you make a certain amount of money during the festival sales, they automatically invite you back, which I did last year.
Yay!
And yay!
Yeah.
So it's an automatic invitation back, which is great. Then you don't have to apply and be on the wait list. I get in, did I not get in?
Yeah.
And then I'm also, I decided to, you know, I realized Last of All was like number one.
Yeah.
And well, I just need to add, you know, a few more festivals until I get enough people on my email list. And so I decided to do one in Kansas, and I've now hooked my husband into coming with me and help me put up my tent.
My
son, I need a support system.
Where in Kansas is it?
It's in Salina, which is, Salina, Kansas. So it's not too far. It's just 4 hours north.
Yeah. When is that one?
June 8th through 10th.
Okay. Just in case, because there's lots of people. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody's up there wants to go.
Anybody, come on over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, well, that's very cool. So, and I have, I bought during one of your themes, what did you call it? The collection that you did. Yep. You would ask people to send in, submit photos and so forth. And I do my photo of the day because, again, I needed a time. It kind of came along at a time where I needed to stop focusing on the big things and just start finding macro things around that were joyous, you know, those little micro things, not the macro. I want the micro.
Exactly.
And it would be things, you know, some of the pictures when they pop up, I'm just like, oh. And, you know, it was when Jordan was little and he would have seatbelted in his little Lego guy into the car, you know, and I would find it later. And I'm like, that's so cute. How can you have a bad day when he's seatbelted in, you know? or he would leave his toys, you know, all over the place, you know, it would just be these piles of his joy and his playing and his, you know, just being little. And, you know, the same with Hope. Like there was, I think I have one where her shoes were in the bathroom floor and his shoes were next to hers. And it was just like, my babies, you know, and those.
Yeah, that collection was really special because of that. You know, I asked, it was April 2020, and I asked people to send me photos like, what are we doing? What's going on in our lives? We're all, at that point, we were all really shut in still. Mm-hmm. We were all like watching the birds. We were all, you know, watching the flowers come up. We were, you know, just taking more stock of what was in our immediate environment. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I asked people to send me photos of what they were doing, and then I would paint them.
Actually have a painting from that collection. It's called Someone to Watch Over Me, because you had sent out in the newsletter and put on your social media that you wanted people to take pictures of their days. What's going on? What are you all up to? Let me see. And I was working because, you know, no time off for the panini, but I was going to people's houses, and anytime I see a cardinal, I have to stop and take a picture of it. And I told you this story, and I don't think I've told it here, that after my grandfather died, he was murdered, and I was struggling with the why, you know, like why that way? Why did he was going to die. I'm a hospice nurse at this point. You know, when he passed, I was a hospice nurse, and I knew, like, he's going to die soon. Why did we have to do the murder route? What was the point of that? couldn't he have just gotten the card where he got to die in his sleep? Like, you know, like, because it was going to happen real soon, you know, like, nobody knows when. It's not like he has an expiration date on the bottom of his foot, but I could tell it was coming. You know, I was sitting and sort of processing through a lot of that. And then, like, why? Like, why? And, you know, it's a windy day in Oklahoma, which is like a Tuesday. Today it wasn't windy, so that's part of what made it amazing. So it was 75 degrees, sunny with no wind. It was like primo. We will get one more day like that, maybe two. And so anyway, I was sitting there and the wind blew and the garage door blew open in my house, and the outside garage door to the side was always shut and locked, and it blew open. And I was like, oh, am I going to get an answer? Into my house flew a cardinal, as just stark red as he could be. And he flew through the living room and onto, an antique, which is, my grandfather was kind of a hoarder. He kept everything. Like, he didn't have a computer, but he had an AOL disc. Why is that here? You just, why? Throw it away. but it was a file cabinet that I for whatever reason, I guess because it was old and my dad used it, I thought it was, I think it was his. It's still in my house. But anyway, I digress. But flew in and landed on that thing. And I was like, and it was like chirping for its mate. And here comes the female right behind him and lands
into the house
right behind him and lands on it. And they're chirping at each other and looking at me. And I'm like, is that my grandmother or my grandfather? Like, I think that's them. I'm pretty sure that's them. And I just had that overwhelming, you know, where you just, we look for symbols, we look for themes, we look for answers. And I don't care whether it was them or not. It just created a space of peace for me that I was like, it doesn't matter how he's gone. He's with her. He's happy. So I've had these little moments of them, you know, of insecurity and just pain. And somehow they seem
to powerful medicine that is.
It is. It's beautiful. So I was having one of those days where in the panini where healthcare workers were like, we're going to die. We're going to die helping people. We are traumatizing ourselves. Doing this service that we love, we are now traumatizing ourselves. And we are going to carry this trauma throughout our lives. And, you know, we will heal as best we can. But this is forever going, it traumatized the world. It wasn't just us, you know, it traumatized the world. And we will forever carry that with us. But it's one of those things that I was just like, I don't know how we get through this. Like, how do we finish this thing? How do we manage? And I hear this chirpy chirp chirp. And I turned around and up on a wire and I took the picture and you painted it. And I'm like, I have to have that. I have to have it. So,
and I'm glad you have it.
I love it. It's in my living room and I love it so very much. So, what collections are you working on now? Are you working on anything in particular this minute?
I am finishing up a collection called Father and Child, and it's going to show at a business in Oklahoma City on June 15th. The business is called Amshot, and anyone is welcome to come. Okay. Open to the public. And it's in honor of my father who died last year, who was a great nurturer in my life. And so again, I ask people to send me photos for inspiration. Some are more abstract and archetypal. It's never portraiture. It's never a particular father and a particular child. It's like father and child, which is like how I like to work in archetypes. But it's scenes that you'll recognize, you know, on the couch, you know, these spinning around like a helicopter, those kind of things, you know, the physical things that dads will often do.
Often do, yeah. Yeah. Throwing you in a pool.
That's what my dad did, throwing me in the pool.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to honor the sort of the nurturing side of men. Mm-hmm. I'm all about like bringing down the patriarchy.
Yes.
And part of the thing is that we put men and women in these roles, you know, that only men have to be warriors and providers and women have to be the nurturers. And it's like, we're all everything. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is for us to, you know, to honor and celebrate the softer and nurturing side of men as well.
Yeah.
Which was definitely part of my life.
And mine too. So someone who's starting out doing art and doesn't have a group of women to show with.
Yeah.
What would your key takeaway from some of the things that you've learned? What would be the biggest piece of advice you have for them?
Just keep going. You know, you have to develop your craft, and I've seen too many people give up because they're not selling, and it's like, you're not going to sell right away. You want to share your work, and because you don't want to hide it either, but you want to be on this journey where you're continuing to create and get better and explore. And hopefully eventually you can start, you know, sharing it online, of course, and then, you know, hopefully in person and in a coffee house, ask, you know, you need enough pieces together that feel like they go together. A lot of times in the beginning, you're exploring I was doing every medium under the sun and, you know, which is good. That's part of the learning.
It is. Experience. Yeah.
But it's not, as far as like, if your goal is to be a professional artist, that's not you eventually have to kind of pick a medium mm-hmm. or have a collection at least that goes together to where you can hang it together, where people will eventually start to recognize you. And buying your work is still a long journey. Even once you are known, people will take 3 or 4 years. It's not like buying a t-shirt. You know, they, mm-hmm. they have to have a space in their home. They have to have money for it.
Yes.
they think about it for a long time. And so, and there's more emotional baggage put on artists than any freaking other career. Like, I'm not a real artist if it goes above someone's couch. I'm not a real artist if I have to have another job. I'm not a real artist if, you know, I sell out and do it at a festival instead of an art gallery. It's just like, there's all this emotional baggage you have to work through as well. And so yeah. you know, it takes time to don't try to, you know, work on your shadows or whatever else you have is always good as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So
for that.
So then tell me, okay, so you, that's an, I did not know that, that there's a little bit of like elitism. I guess that makes total sense though. So does that little bit of elitism take away from any of the creativity or joy when you've boxed yourself in if you buy into those ideas?
Definitely. And that's what kind of makes me sad is like, so, well, especially with paintings, you start to build up this inventory and you're like, oh, I'm going to, and I've seen too many artists just like stop making because they haven't sold their previous work. And I'm like, you didn't start painting to sell it. You started painting to bring yourself joy and happiness, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. And why are you taking away that joy from yourself? Why are you stifling your creativity for this monetary reason? I was like, burn it, paint over it. I do those things all the time.
I was
give it away.
Yeah.
Like, don't stop your creativity because you think you should be selling and you're not, and you're disappointed about that. It's two different things. Your creativity is one thing. And selling yourself and being a business person as an artist is a separate thing. And sometimes they don't go together, and that's okay. You're still an artist.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen your social media where you've burned a painting you hated once, where you're like, I'm not even gonna, nope. And then I've seen you take one where you were like, I didn't like the way this turned out. I'm just gonna paint over it.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting too, the response, especially when burning, people are like, what? And I'm just like, this is part of the process, people. Like, that's, you just, you're not sure it's going to work out, and you cannot get upset about failing, or you're not, you would never make the next painting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you have to be, unless you're doing a craft where I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again, which I'm not. I'm, every time you start, you're not sure it's going to work out. And yet you do it anyway.
Yeah.
And after some point you're like, oh no, let's just start something else.
Yeah. This isn't it.
Yeah. But honestly, some of my favorite paintings were paintings that I ended up doing over another painting, which I didn't completely gesso over, meaning I didn't white it out. I just like put new color on top of it. And you can see some of the older painting underneath it, and that it has a depth to it. It has an element to it that I never would have put in there if it had started that way from scratch, if it had been a blank canvas.
Isn't that like the ultimate metaphor of our lives? Like,
exactly.
Like this.
And in fact, I held a painting and I called it Life is Like That because it was a painting I had gessoed over and gessoed over. It was just like, you could see these bumps and cracks underneath it. And it was a tiny little painting of just, you mess up.
Yeah, and some things you burn to the ground and start again.
And you burn to the ground. Exactly. I like setting things on fire, so that's my particular. And I have the space to do it. I live in the woods here. My husband's really scared of me.
She's going to burn it all down one day. Yeah, no.
I know. I'm a little worried, actually. I get a permit now, people. Don't worry.
It's okay.
Fire department actually knows my number and my name.
When she's going out there to the pit, it's okay.
Like, oh, Mary, it's you again. Yes. Okay. You know the rules, right, Mary?
Yes.
Out by 5 p.m.
Anyway, well, we will shift. What are you listening to, my friend? What are you reading, watching?
I'm reading a couple books right now. I am reading, I'm part of a reading group. And we're reading The Myth of the Goddess,
Ooh.
Evolution of an Image. So it's It's an academic sort of historical book. We're looking at the goddess through Paleolithic through modern times. So it's like it's chapter by chapter. So chapter per week. So it's a little bit slow going.
I was going to say, is it dense like a textbook or is it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty dense.
Yeah.
And then I'm also reading, which I started during the festival because it was raining and I was like, give me a good recommendation. And I'm going to be in my tent reading. So I'm reading Circe, which is a modern sort of retelling of Greek myths and Odysseus and stuff. So that's fun. I'm in the middle of that.
I was going to say, is that fun? I have that.
I don't read many novels anymore, but I knew if I was going to be there like reading for days, I should have a novel. So my daughter happened to have this on her shelf and people recommended it. So
you took it.
It's good.
That's good. That's very good. Nothing new since the last time. I'm still reading The Light We Carry, which I think is a good mental health book to check out during the month. It's Michelle Obama, of course, and it's not political. It's apolitical. You can read her book and you won't turn into a Democrat. It'll be okay. It won't even.
I don't know. That might be dangerous.
I know. I get you. But really, you wouldn't even change. You wouldn't even have to change. You just reading it wouldn't even change you to an independent. And it'd be all right. Okay. But it's good. She had that moment of like what we had talked about, the darkness, the pandemic kind of. And I think people are starting to come out, obviously coming out more and being out more and doing all the things. But then also starting to reconnect with how do we move forward, because we can't stay stuck in that trauma and pain. We have to figure out a way to take care of ourselves every week and figure out a way to bring joy back into our lives and surround ourselves with the life that we want or don't. And there's like a loneliness epidemic that's going on. The Surgeon General talked about a plan to get out of it today. I haven't read that yet, but I'm going to.
Oh, wow.
Where can people find you?
My website is Mary James Ketch. That's KETCH.com. Or I'm on Instagram at Mary James Ketch.
Yes.
So come on over.
Come on over.
It's a good time.
And I will link things to you and tag you in the things so that they can find you. And then you have a newsletter. They can sign up through the website, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the top bar is that subscribe.
Yes. And she does not like send out a million emails.
No, in fact, I'm transitioning. I used to send the stories behind the paintings. And, you know, since my taking care of my dad last year and stuff, I'm kind of just doing when I have new work available and when a show is coming out. Mm-hmm. But then people are like, well, I miss the stories. So, but I'm not doing it, you know, weekly or daily even. It was only like once or twice a month. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, but then you can kind of, you'll know. Like she said, when you go to when the show's coming out, you'll have it out on all of that.
Yes.
They can come out and check you out, say hi. Yes. So I appreciate you. And it was good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes. Likewise. I'm sure we'll bump into each other sooner or later. Yes.
Okay.
I know. We'll talk. I'll message you. We'll have coffee or something. We'll do something. All right. And on that note, I will see you guys in the stacks next week. Again, I cannot thank you enough for taking some time out of your busy lives to listen to this week's chapter, engage with the show, social media accounts, and for all of your feedback. I appreciate your feedback so much. It helps me to find those chapters and stories that you guys actually want to hear. If you have just a moment, can you head over to Spotify and follow the show no matter where you're listening from? It would really help me out. And if you want to, you can check out my flow page. It is flow.page/notinthetextbooks. It has all the links to the social media accounts and where you can actually listen. If you want to be on the show or you want to nominate someone to be on the show, please email me at notinthetextbookspodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick reminder that we're not all getting straight A's in the stories of our lives, and some people are having harder chapters than you are. So take a minute, pause, think about it, be kind. And if you're struggling right now because your chapter's super hard, I'll be your cheerleader. I'm here for you. Reach out, get support, and get the help that you need. keep going. And on that note, I'll see you in the stacks next week.